It's good to be here and to have you here to participate in this message that will go across the world. And I prayed very fervently for the power to the Spirit to be with me. When the Doctrine and Covenants was assembled, the revelations were pulled together by the prophet Joseph Smith, who was then still in his 20s. A revelation was given. It is now section one of the Doctrine and Covenants, although it's given much later than most of the revelations there. And there's one phrase in that revelation that changed the work of the church, and if they will, change the work of the Christian churches forever. And that was simply that every man might speak in the name of God the Lord, even the Savior of the world. To imagine putting together a church where the authority of the priesthood was to be given to every worthy adult male would seem like a very reckless, dangerous thing. But that's the way it is. So that as we look at you across the world, you're members of the church, we're never afraid of the progress of the church because we know that there will come by conversion and baptism a little group and brethren upon whom the fullness of the priesthood can be conferred. Any elder holds as much priesthood as does the president of the church, or as I do, as an apostle. Different offices, but the priesthood isn't delegated out and partial to a little here and a little there. It's given all at once. In the ordinance where ordinations take place, the priesthood is conferred, and then the office is conferred, so that a young man, as young as 18, planning to go on a mission, has this ordinance, and they first say, "We confer upon you the Melchizedek priesthood, and then ordain you to the office of elder in that priesthood." That priesthood has some other titles. The priesthood after the holiest order of God, and the holy priesthood after the order of the Son of God. It's the consummate power on this earth. It is the power by which the earth was created and all other things in the vast universe that is a part of our life. We know that every father can or should be an officer in the priesthood, meaning that he holds the priesthood and presides over his family in righteousness. We are sometimes charged with being unkind to the sisters in that they do not hold the priesthood and therefore do not hold the offices that the brethren do. But it's well understood that whether or not we are exalted depends upon the sister who is at our side, the wife, the mother of our children. And no holder of the priesthood would in any way depreciate or mitigate the value and power of his wife. When I hear those comments that the sisters are less than the brethren, I wish that they could see inside the heart of every worthy holder of the priesthood and understand how he feels about his wife, the mother of his children. A reverence, not quite worship, but a kind of worship. A respect for the companion in life that causes it to be that he can be exalted ultimately. The church is very practical in its organization. We're not confined to having one prelate or priest or pastor or vicar be given authority then to rule over the congregation, but that has that simple expression in the Doctrine and Covenants says that every man might speak in the name of God, the Lord, the Savior of the world. We're very careful to set standards of worthiness so that when a man is prepared for the priesthood, he must give up a lot of things that other men enjoy in life. And every one of them is a protection for him and his family. The word of wisdom, given at a time when the dangers of tea and coffee, liquor and tobacco and all those things that weren't known. And yet the early brethren, bowing to what the prophet said, would obediently accept the fact that there are standards if you're going to be ordained into the priesthood. And that's a great thing for a father, the husband, to live the gospel and teach it by example. There is the responsibility in the church that is permanent. We call a man to be a stake president or a bishop or some other presiding officer, and we pay proper respect for that authority. And yet, the tenure of it is temporary. One day a stake president will be released or a bishop will be released, but an elder is not released. And the high priest is not released, and the 70 is not released. They hold that authority, and the honor of presiding over a family and being a father is eternal. That gives me a lot of comfort at my young age, when we've been married for 65 years, and I think that that could come to an end, and then I realize that the gospel is true and it will never come to an end. And I've been very careful and am very careful to treat my wife with that respect and reverence that is due her in performing that thing that is of most worth for a woman in this life, to live the gospel, to be the wife and the mother of the children, of worthy holder of the priesthood. In putting the church together, the priesthood was restored, the Aaronic priesthood first, and then the Melchizedek priesthood. And the church was not given all at once as a blueprint that the prophet could just look at and then announce. It came line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little, but it came together in the fullness of time. We finally had it all restored. The church is growing very rapidly, and we see you in our mind's eye and the congregations across the world listening to this program, and it is through the blessing of translation that we can speak your language. That's the only way I can speak perfect language to the people of the world. I've had hard enough trouble with English, and yet we know that the words are translated into equal words in the other languages. But more than that, they are accompanied by the power and the spirit and the intent. We perform the ordinances in the name of Jesus Christ. And that there are one or two that vary from that a little. One of them, interestingly enough, is baptism, where the prayer says, "I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." There are some ordinances in the temple that are expressed the same way, so that everything that can be given is given. And in due time, we come to know our Father in heaven, a loving Father whose concern for us is such that he rejoices at our happiness, and I'm sure sheds tears for our disobedience and mistakes. And when we have children of our own and hold the priesthood, and those two things are together in our life, then we know what the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ is about. And we know who he is. Christ, the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, who wrought the atonement through which we can have erased all of the mistakes we've made in life and stand clean and pure before the Father in that day of judgment. It is an interesting thing that across the world every man might speak in the name of God, the Lord, and the Savior of the world. And you out there are speaking languages. One or two of you speak many languages. I've known one or two of the general authorities that just seem to inhale languages. With Jacob DeAuger, I used to travel with him. And we went to China, to other places, and it just seemed like he stepped off the plane and took a deep breath and he could speak the language and speak it well. And we can that way have men better than we are in many ways leading the church out there, and adequate and complete, because they're attached to the powers of heaven. They're looked after by the arm of the Almighty, and know that Jesus Christ, the only begotten of the Father, is the head of the church. We are his servants, all of us, and we are his sons and we are his daughters. It's a source of great comfort to me to know that as I go through life and make mistakes, I've said I wish that my last mistake was my worst one, and my next mistake wouldn't come. I don't have hope of either, that you make mistakes and look back on your life and wonder, well, where am I now near the end of our life to face the judgment? That doesn't worry me, because I have repented and taken hold of that great atonement that is offered by living the gospel of Jesus Christ as a holder of the priesthood, to respond to every call that comes, to perform every service that will come, the most important of which is within the walls of our own home. The last few presidents of the church, conscious of what the adversary was doing, have centered their teaching, their preaching, on the home and the family. And we have done that in this meeting as well, that the church is made up of families. We talk about the organization and how many wards and stakes we have, and they are incidental and temporary. When we talk about how many families we have, then we see the real growth in the church. I want to conclude with a witness and a testimony. I've lived a long time. I've traveled widely, 2.5 million miles in the countries across the world. Many of them I have visited dozens of times. I've learned that we are the children of God. And I've come to know that the gospel of Jesus Christ is true. That when we come to you as leaders and in the auxiliaries and in the priesthood and the stakes, we come with a fervent testimony and knowledge. For we know that God lives, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father. And all that we do in his name as his agents. And what we do as his agents in governing the church as an apostle, or in guiding a ward as a bishop, or in council and elders quorum presidency, all of these are secondary to being a father and a husband who holds the priesthood and lives worthily of it. That's the source of happiness and great achievement in mortality. I know that God lives. I know that Jesus is the Christ. I know the Lord, that this is His church, and His guiding hand is with it and is with every worthy holder of the priesthood, every wife and mother, and with even little children, watched over by the benevolent hand of Him who is the Son of God. Of Him I bear witness, and of the Father I bear witness, and my witness is true. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.